Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Six. McMonagle here with you. I'm blue.
I'm still blue.
I'm still down. And today I went out trick-or-treating with the boys. And only a few days ago, I was very pumped that they were going to be going as Aaron Rodgers and Giancarlo Stanton. I was very excited. They were excited. They had props before the playoffs started. Now, this is before the playoffs started. Because they wanted to do this for a while. Because my son, my older son, started to get into it, and he wanted to be judge, and so then the little guy came along. But right before the playoffs started, I suggested getting a cane for my son Andrew to be like Giancarlo Stanton with a cane, like to have like a fun prop with it or whatever. But shame on me because the guy's a beast, and I love him. Still wish he would have ran a little bit faster rounding third base in game three, but. It is what it is. And my son Tommy, pretty much just to use as an excuse to get the drink prime, had to get Aaron Rodgers prime as a prop. But just walking around today, it's just like, it sucks. I was like, I don't even want to look at the Yankee jerseys. Like, I just want, it's very, very difficult. Like, they don't care. They're upset that they lost, but they were still very excited to be Aaron Judge. And it's like, you still got to be proud to be a Yankee fan. But it is just tough trying to recover from that. It is a brutal loss. And I know now the articles are coming out, and I understand. And we'll get into more deeply here. I want to still just take some calls. We'll take your Yankee calls now before we get into it. We'll take your Jet calls. Some of the scouting reports of how the Dodgers felt about the New York Yankees. And some of it is extremely fair, and some of it is a lot of a problem inside the Yankee organization. I would think no different. I'm not saying that the Yankees have run a tip-top shape show, that everything they do is right, that some of the things in the article that, you know, you put the ball in play against the Yankees because they're poor defensively, fair. The outfield shifting is some of the worst in baseball. I mean, I can't speak to it. I haven't noticed bad outfield shifting in my mind. I haven't seen balls hit the ground where I'm like, geez, those are typical balls that don't hit the ground against other teams. Like, I haven't seen that necessarily, that the shifting is a problem. But if the Dodgers feel so, I certainly don't think the offensive, the shifting has been great. But again, here's my only point. Those two things are true. They're true. Right? I'm not even going to argue them. They're not a good defensive team. They're not a good base running team. They might be wrong in some of the ways they're going about their business in making themselves a better base running team and defensive team. Let's just call that. I could argue different counterpoints inside that. I think it's a nuanced argument in many ways, but let's just call it like, fine. That is accurate. All of those are true. It doesn't change the fact that the fifth inning had nothing to do with any of that. That's my only point. That's an inning that's going to go down in history. We've been talking about it the last 2 days. It's an inning that is going to weigh on me arguably the rest of my life. I am never going to forget how miserable and sick to my stomach I was and how it's made me the last couple of days. That inning it's going to drive me crazy forever. It's historic. It's the worst inning in Yankee history, arguably. It's a disaster, a meltdown of epic proportions. The Yankees just went out there with a 5-0 lead and crapped all over themselves and cost themselves a chance to further an opportunity to compete for a World Series title. It's unacceptable. It drives me crazy. Nothing in that article, nothing about the way they prepare, nothing about holding players accountable had anything to do with that inning. That inning is too important, too crazy, too heartbreaking and disastrous to sweep under the rug of their poor fundamental team. I'm sorry. It bothers me that we're doing it because it's not true. It's just not true. They are a poor fundamental team. They have had bad base running, bad defense, Gleyber Torres, mind-numbing mistakes. You want to tell me, forget the inning, Chris. They blew the series in game one with Gleyber Torres, and that falls under the guise of fundamentals. Okay. Let's have that discussion. I'm open to it. Good. Right. Fair. That inning had absolutely nothing to do with anything the Yankees organization does wrong. Nothing. Aaron Judge is a superstar who made a world-class catch, leaping catch up against the wall. However he was shifted, however poorly you might believe he was placed in the outfield, he went out there and robbed a double from Freddie Freeman, making an incredible catch. And then a ball, again, however poorly you think he was shifted, hit right at him. He dropped it. It's not because he wasn't held accountable in previous situations. It wasn't because of how he's managed by Aaron Boone. He dropped the freaking ball. That's it. Aaron Judge, the superstar MVP captain, $400 million, $40 million man, dropped the easiest of balls you could drop. That's it. Has nothing to do with him not being held accountable. Nothing. Has nothing to do with the laissez-faire attitude of the manager. Has nothing. Nothing to do with it. Nothing. Anthony Volpe made the right play. Anthony Volpe didn't throw to the wrong base. Anthony Volpe didn't have poor footwork. Anthony Volpe didn't field it, you know, with his glove in the wrong position. Anthony Volpe did everything right. Everything you could possibly be coached to do right. He knew which base to go to. He knew exactly what to do with the ball. He fielded it exactly perfect. And then he threw the ball in the dirt for no other reason than Anthony Volpe threw the ball in the dirt. Not because he hasn't been held accountable. Not because he doesn't think it's important. Not because he's not focused. Not because of any other reason than he threw the ball in the dirt. Anthony Rizzo is a platinum glove winner who's been at several different locations before coming to the Yankees. San Diego, Chicago. He is a platinum glove winner at the tail end of his career. Are we saying he learned poor defense from the New York Yankees? That he no longer understands that he was good enough to end a 100-year drought of World Series in Chicago? But when it comes to the Yankees, he doesn't recognize how important the World Series is because Boone runs the clubhouse like a day camp. Is that what we're saying? Is that what we're saying? Are we saying that the ace of the staff, the $324 million man who knows his legacy is on the line, who's done everything for this team, who's battled back from injury, who's pitching a no-hitter in this game, who just picked up his teammates after two errors, led to the bases loaded, strikes out Gavin Lux, strikes out Ohtani, gets a squibber to end the inning, and just pulled his team out of the fire. Didn't run the first base because he's not been coached to do so in a play that is more coached than any play in history. Wait until spring training next year. Every single B-roll of every single report on SNY, MSG, whatever other network, Yes Network, wherever you see people talking about spring training and background videos playing, it's the PFP, pitchers fielding practice. They do it over and 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 over again. Are we saying he didn't go to first because Aaron Boone? Like, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. There have been problems with this team. It needs to change. We can have a discussion whether or not they should fire the manager or not. I'm not even going to throw it out. I'm not going to dismiss it. Not going to dismiss it. I don't think they will. I don't think they have to. I wouldn't. They're well within their rights to. And I won't say a peep. I'll say, who are you going to bring in? Who's the guy? Let's go. Hopefully he'll change some of the things that are lacking with this team. No doubt. But that inning is going to haunt me forever. And I don't want it classified under the same nonsense that we get mad about all year long and just brush it under the same umbrella and under the same rug and just make it a nice, convenient little pack it up in a package and here, this is the way we always lose and this is how it's done. This is why we lose all year long. Put it under there. It's not. That is a freaking collapse of epic proportions. They failed themselves. They completely crapped the bed. They couldn't handle the moment. He looked away because he looked, and instead of looking it into his glove, Judge, because he looked away. Not because he's coached to look away, because he looked away. They spiked the ball because the nerves. They spiked the ball because the aggressive base running of the Dodgers. He spiked the ball at third base because he just made a bad play. It's too freaking important to dismiss it along with everything else that happens. Sorry, it is. Gleyber Torres not making sure he fielded it correctly when the ball got away game one, absolutely falls under the same sloppiness we've seen. Base running in the Cleveland series, absolutely falls under the same sloppiness we've seen. I'm not saying it didn't cost them. I'm specifically looking at that inning and how they lost, because if that inning doesn't happen and they win, every one of you who are telling me they're not good enough, every one of you who are saying this is the same crap, they'll never win under Boone, but all of you, if that inning doesn't happen, all of you are freaking pumped for tonight and telling me the Yankees are going to win. They would have had all the momentum. They would have shut down the Dodgers' offense. Aaron Judge would have been hot and on fire, ready to go into this game, and we would have felt pretty damn good about their chances of taking two in LA. And instead, the most random, crazy, not being able to finish the job inning in Yankee history happened, and I won't have it brushed under the rug under the same guise of all the same nonsense that we've seen. It's too important. It's too heartbreaking. That inning stands alone. The cheese stands alone. 888-808-1019. Tom in Belmar. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Yeah, that's I'm in the same boat, man. I can't believe it. I'm never gonna forget it. One thing that I feel like no one's talking about, that was Judge's first career error ever in center field.
Yeah, I know it was his first error of the season. I didn't hear that it was his first ever center field error, but yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It happened from, if Gleyber Torres does that, if Gleyber Torres drops a pop-up, I'm right with everybody. If Gleyber Torres does, you know, throws to the wrong base, or yeah, tries to turn a double play when the runner's clearly going to be safe at second and cost them, or like if some of the nonsense that continued to happen killed them, I'd be right on board saying, here we are, same stuff killing them. That inning stands alone. Judge doesn't drop that ball ever. Volpe is one of their better defenders who has to make a throw, and Rizzo's a Platinum Glove Award winner, and that's the ace of the staff on the mound. Like, I'm sorry. Both of those guys have been coached up and brought up through other organizations, who've been taught how to teach baseball and do PFP at first base more with other teams than they have with the Yankees. Like, I just refuse. That has nothing to do with coaching. It has nothing to do with Boone. They just freaking pulled two mental rocks from both of them. It's astounding.
Yeah. The other thing, Torres has been the player that's kind of expected to make some errors. And he had that that Ohtani play that he fumbled. But in the 10th, Boone replaces him with Cabrera for defense, which...
Yeah.
I don't think he's that much better of a defender than Torres.
Yeah, he is.
And maybe Torres comes up with that. I mean, maybe. That was a tough play. Cabrera was diving for
He dove past it. Look, Gleyber Torres scares me defensively. He's graded out as the worst defensive second baseman in the league. He's made more errors than any second baseman in the league. I have a tough time complaining about putting in a better fielder at second base. Like, again, Gleyber Torres isn't the fleetest of foot. They brought in a faster runner, and then they put in a better defender. It didn't work out. He didn't make the play. And maybe Gleyber would have made the play. I have no idea. But Gleyber Torres, all year long, all we do is scream about how bad he is defensively, and then we're going to complain when they bring in defensive replacement or they pinch run and bring in a defensive replacement? I can't. Again, you want to blame Boone? Here we go. We can point to all the reasons to blame Boone. He had a miserable game one. Miserable. Pulling out Cole was a terrible decision. And now they say, oh, you know, he hasn't pitched over 90 pitches. But he threw 107. I understand he was emptying the tank in Game 5 of the World Series, but I'm sorry, he could have went further into Game 1. Don't give me that crap. Aaron Boone should have never pulled him out of that game because it sets up a bunch of dominoes and decisions later in the game. He absolutely should have went to Weaver in either to start the 8th inning or to bring him back out for the 10th. And that's instead of going to Cousins in the 10th with a lead to save the game, he should have brought out Weaver after only throwing 19 pitches. 100%, that was stupid. Both of those decisions kill me. And then Nestor Cortez over Hill, I don't think it's the worst decision. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I viewed it as a matchup better for Nestor, but he hadn't thrown in forever. That was the two things you're going to weigh. Because in that moment, I have no... If Nestor's pitching and just sent to the bullpen for, you know, whatever reason, or he's been back for a while pitching out of the bullpen, I like the matchup. He's great against Ohtani. He proved it multiple times in the series. I don't mind that matchup. It's just that he hadn't pitched in 5 weeks. That's what you were weighing. He chose the matchup and his guy Nestor. You can call it a mistake. It didn't work, so it was. But I don't think it's the worst decision of the history of baseball. I don't even think it's the worst decision of that inning, let alone the history of baseball. He should have started with Weaver and made all of that decision-making null and void. Terrible decision. And then you could argue he should have started with Weaver with the lead in the 8th inning in this game instead of going to Canely. And just go with your best. And I do think there is a level of everything's going to be okay. With the Yankees, everything's going to be okay. That plagues this team over the course of a regular season. Totally agree. I thought it changed at the beginning of the year, and then they kind of fell back into it. But the urgency at the start of the season felt different to me. Remember, they weren't giving guys days off. They weren't, you know, giving Judge the back-to-back day with, you know, taking the... they would win a series the first two games. The third game was a Sunday, a day off on Monday. And it's like, oh, this is exactly where they give Judge a day off Sunday, day off Monday. No, he was playing every game. Like, I thought there was some urgency at this year that was going to start to change the way they handled things. And it didn't really. And they are poor defensively. And I can't speak to outfield shifting with real intelligence. But the idea that the Dodgers pretty much said the Yankees' flaw is making them play baseball is embarrassing. And you've got, you know, Joe Kelly for the Dodgers, who didn't pitch in this series. I'm not even sure if he was healthy or on the roster. But... and I think it was Joe Kelly in this audio. But Joe Kelly's like, oh, and then we waited for the Yankees to play Yankee defense. This is a guy who's got an issue with the Yankees. This is a guy who's played against the Yankees for the Red Sox. Like, let's say the Yankees.
That big fight in Boston with Tyler.
Big fight in Boston Tyler with Tyler Austin. Like, if you think the Dodgers were laughing at the Yankees when they were up 5-0 and coming back after to win two games, I promise you they weren't laughing at the Yankees heading back to L.A. They were laughing at him after that 5th inning, sure. The whole world was laughing at him after that 5th inning. Nathan in Long Island, what's up, Nathan?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Big good, how are you? Show. Thank you very much.
So I was by the Yankee game last night, and, you know, I got home at like 2 a.m. I was eating cereal in the dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a big problem with Boone, but I'm not going to raise that because I know you're a big pro Boone guy.
That's okay.
But I have a problem with the management. I mean, we're running 9 different experiments at the same time on the field. We're paying for Rizzo. We're paying for guys like Verdugo. We're just doing 9 different experiments. I don't get why we can't do what the Dodgers do what the Padres do, pay for good players. It just doesn't make sense to me. What is Cashman doing?
Well, I mean, they do have a high payroll. I understand what you said, but again, like everyone, what the Padres do. Where have the Padres had more success than the New York Yankees? Like that's all. Like where have the Padres have had? Where have the Padres had more success? What?
They're arguably a better team than this year. I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Yankees from the World Series. I really don't care. You're gonna tell me the National League. I understand that. They lost two games that got completely shut down offensively by the Dodgers. I don't care. The year before, last year, with Juan Soto in that lineup, didn't make the playoffs. Like, I'm just saying, where's the success of this team that you could say, you know, why can't they be more like the Padres?
I'd rather face up against the Dodgers than the Padres. As the Yankees fan, 100%. The Dodgers are a more complete team.
But again, they haven't had any success. They haven't had any success, man. Like, it's just not fair to say that. They missed the playoffs just like the Yankees did 2 years ago. All that money. They have Manny Machado. They have, at the time, Juan Soto, Bogarts. Like, the list goes, Blake Snell. The list goes on and on of all the talent they have. Where's the success? The manager leaves. They have to trade once. Like, they put together a good team this year. Absolutely. They lost. Why can't we be more like the Padres? I don't know. Why can't they be more like the Padres? I don't know. I understand. They signed Verdugo with hopes of him being better. Verdugo had the worst year of his career. Like, plain and simple, Verdugo had the worst year of his career. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think he was great. I didn't say, woohoo, Verdugo, World Series, baby. I liked the move. I thought he was a bit of a gamer playing against him. And I thought he had a level of success that was guaranteed. He didn't. He was terrible for them. No doubt. And honestly, if Jason Dominguez doesn't get hurt with his oblique in the middle of the season, we might have seen a lot more of Jason Dominguez. He got hurt. And yeah, Anthony Rizzo, they signed to a contract. I was screaming it at the time. Right, the biggest one of all of them, and I know it's convenient now because he's the World Series MVP, but if you go back and listen to the shows I was doing on the weekends, whenever I was Saturday nights, Friday mornings, whenever I was doing them, I was screaming about first base and signing Freddie Freeman. More than I was screaming about signing Manny Machado, more than I was screaming even about signing Bryce Harper. At the moment of when it was happening, considering the money was down from those two guys, I thought Freddie Freeman would bring in an anger, a level of competitiveness. I thought they needed a player like that. And I remember doing show after show saying, I want Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman. And it's convenient now to say it. He's the World Series MVP and he just killed them. But even more than Machado, even more than Bryce Harper, I wanted Freddie Freeman in first base. And they chose to go cheaper and bring in Rizzo. We have no idea if that's on Cashman. We have no idea if that's on the owner. I don't know. Could they do better? Of course. Again, they were in the World Series this year. And I'm not happy about losing the World Series. And certainly I'm not happy in the manner in which they lost it. But he built the best team in the American League. I can't tell you what he would have done in the National League. The New York Yankees were the best team in the American League to the point that all of their playoff series were embarrassing. And if the Yankees didn't make them embarrassing, we'd all be killing them for not, you know, beating the Royals and was the American League down this year? Sure. They had a tough division though, right? Everyone went in. The super team of the Baltimore Orioles, what happened? Their pitching staff went down, but they had an opportunity to win a series. They lost. They lost to those Royals who the Yankees had no business even being on the same field with. They won a division, they won the most wins in the American League, and they made it to the World Series. Not good enough, I'm sick to my stomach today, many things have to change, but I think it warrants enough to go, why can't we be like the Padres, and throw that statement out. That's all. Like, I think they've done enough where we can look and say, why can't they be the Dodgers? Fair. Other than that, like, I don't know if there's why can't they be like this, why can't they be like that? The Dodgers are the only team who's done it better. That's it. Why can't they be like the Dodgers and go sign Ohtani, go sign Freddie Freeman, go sign trade for Mookie Betts, be in the mix for Juan Soto, and still have a good farm system? I don't know. The Dodgers do it better. Everyone's chasing the Dodgers right now. But the Yankees have a lot of things to change, and we'll get to it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back, take your phone calls all the way to 5. And the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo! All right, 136. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for the next 3.5 hours, taking you till the warm-up show at 5. A little bit of Yankee talk, a little bit of Jet talk, as they get a victory against the Houston Texans and save their season. Rodgers played well in the second half after a miserable first half. Garrett Wilson makes one of the greatest catches you'll ever see. And again, I don't want to make this a thing between him, his catch, and Beckham's catch, but I just went back and looked at both again, all right? Because a guy who follows the show a lot was tweeting at me about it. He's like, oh, no. The Wilson catch is way better than the OBJ catch. Look at he had to leap in the air, and Odell Beckham didn't have. Watch those two plays. This is all I'm going to say. Watch those two plays. See how far Odell Beckham has to reach back, and he doesn't even get his whole hand on it. He's got just like he's got the two fingertips and maybe the thumb. There is no doubt in my mind the more difficult catch, making the actual catch, securing the ball, not letting the ball hit the ground, is much, significantly more difficult in the OBJ play. Significantly more difficult. What makes this catch great is I honestly don't think I could, if I fell 100 times and tried to have my shin hit before my knee, I'm not sure I could do it. Like the ability he has to get 1 foot down and then his shin down is remarkable. The body control, back of the end zone, the whole bit, coming down and making the play stand, making the catch, Odell Beckham, it's not close. In my opinion, it's not close. I know he had to leap. But Odell Beckham has to reach. Like, he has to extend his entire body to the point where he's laying down to make the catch. It's incredible. But the body control to get to Wilson to get his feet down is otherworldly. It is a phenomenal catch. It's a great catch and a phenomenal touchdown. How about that? It's a great catch. It's a phenomenal touchdown. Odell Beckham just had a great, great catch. I think the catch is better with Odell Beckham. The touchdown is better with Wilson. I feel good about that. I feel like I've stabilized that answer. The touchdown is better with Wilson. The catch is better with Odell Beckham.
Split the baby perfectly.
Splitting the baby. I found the exact wording to split the baby exactly how I wanted to. Let's get Matt in Long Island. He wants to talk Giants. It's not really on the docket at the moment, but you've been on hold, buddy. You seem like a good enough guy willing to wait for me. But Matt in Long Island wants to talk about the Giants. What's up, Matt? Oh, Matt. Matt's been on hold. I haven't talked about the Giants. I've had enough calls where I didn't need to go to an off-topic call. The Giants are so off-topic. It's not even on a football Friday. Matt, I'm giving you like another 30 seconds here, Matt. Come on. Come on, Matt. You're going to be kicking yourself. Actually, what?
Hey, hello?
Yay! What's up, Matt? Where you been?
Sorry about that. I just want to talk about the Giants.
I've made that clear. The audience knows. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, listen, I don't know what you're saying. I'm not ready to give them the season yet because the next two games are very, very winnable. The Panthers, forget that. But, like, this team is talented. They have some talent. You see, these mistakes aren't going to keep on lingering. I understand, like, what people think. I understand if your take. But they're not going to be a legal shift the next, like, 10 rest of the year. Malik Nabers are not going to keep on dropping passes. This defense is elite. They keep you in every game.
Oh, come on.
Listen. I know. But, like, Daniel Jones, I'm not defending him, but, like, he gets no help either. Like, Where do you stand if they win these next two games, 4-6? It's like, this giant team, I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but like...
They're not going to do anything.
Are we ready to give up already? I mean, yes. Like, I understand, but like, this defense is too good. This team is talented, and they're right there. I mean, these little mistakes are going to get cleaned up. They're not going to be playing careless
Matt,
for the rest of the year.
Matt, God bless you. I totally understand. I understand what you're saying. You're not wrong in some aspects. I think the defense is elite is a bit of a stretch. It's been okay. They have elite players on it. They have one specific elite player with Sexy Dexy. I mean, he's the best D tackle in the league right now. And winning doesn't benefit them anymore. I know Matt and many others are going to be against me on this. I get it. Winning, you know, is what you want. You want to win. You want to watch your team win. You don't want to watch your team lose. But you said, what if they win the next two games and they're 4-6? You know what I'll say? Where are they going at 4-6? They don't have the, you want to talk about talent, like they don't have the talent the Jets have. They don't. They don't have the roster the Jets have. Now, the Jets have been just as dysfunctional and lose games. You have no business losing, but like they have a real chance to get hot and do something. The Giants do not. And watch the quarterback play. All right? You want to say he doesn't get the help? I'm so tired of Daniel Jones not having the help conversation. It's so stupid. Like, yeah, okay, we all know that. Watch the games. At the end of the game, he did not shift over the tight end to help block Watts, and then he didn't hold on to the ball. And he cost us in that moment. The final interception... There is a freeze frame, a still frame of the play that's going around social media. A defender is not in sight. They have two giant wide receivers standing 15 yards down the field, and they don't have a defender in sight. And yet he threw an interception on the ball. It's done. He can't play. He's not a franchise-winning quarterback. They're not going to win with him. And now, if he plays anymore, he could get hurt, which he does every single year. It's not some sort of, oh, wow, that's really pessimism. He's going to get hurt. Yeah, he's done it two out of the last three seasons. He's ended the season on IR. If that happens again, he's back. I can't have him back. It's time to the team. And this is the conversation around tanking that people don't get. I know that the players will not lose on purpose. No one is suggesting the players not try or misplay or the coaches not to coach to win the game. You can make decisions with your roster and who you play that can dictate if you give yourself the best chance to win. Stop playing Daniel Jones. Because as much as I don't like him or think he's a quarterback that can win me a Super Bowl, he's clearly their best option to win football games right now. I believe he is better than Drew Lock, and I believe he is better than Tommy DeVito. I can't have him get hurt. Take him off the field and play one of the lesser quarterbacks. Plain and simple. If a guy is remotely banged up and questionable, don't play him. I'm not saying go out there and intentionally throw the ball into the ground or give it to the other team. Like, we know that's not going to happen. But it's in the best interest. Change the rules. I'm in. Sign me up. Make a petition. Get it on Goodell's desk that there should be a lottery instilled in the NFL so that the draft isn't just correlated with you have the worst record, you get the top pick. Change it up. But the rules are right now, the more you lose, the more opportunity you have to get a game-changing, franchise-changing player. And I watch this head coach, and he's finally had enough. He's finally in the press conference going, yeah, Daniel didn't move him over. Like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of saying I got to look at it. I got, like, how many times has Brian Daboll, over the course of his career as a Giant head coach, just go, yeah, no, listen, we tried our best. I got to watch the film. Hey, what happened on that sack of J.J. Watt? Don't you think when you have a right tackle who hasn't played much, you'd want to get him some help? Well, listen, I'm not sure if he, you know, we got to go back and watch the film. We've heard that answer over and over again. What does he say this week? Yeah. We called the play to move the friggin' tight end over to give him help, and Jones didn't do it. And he feels sick about it. You know, hey, it happens. But he just made it clear, I know what you know, and I tried to help. My quarterback can't help me. I'm tired of it. He's not picking up things that a 6-7 year quarterback should be picking up. He never throws the ball down the field. It's just time, man. And I watch this guy as the head coach, who I believe in many ways. I'm frustrated with, but I believe in many ways. I'm tired of him feeling hamstrung by the quarterback position. And then you watch the offseason, and you watch it. Yes, they went to New England. At the time, they weren't sure, I guess. I can't remember at the time of the combine if it was 100% locked in that Jaden Daniels was going to go to Washington. It felt like that way for a long time. I don't remember specifically. But yes, they went to the Patriots to look to trade up. They might have taken Drake May. But if you watch that, it is clear as day. He knew the quarterback in this draft. He knew it. And though Williams has been great too, you know he was going one though. He wanted Jaden Daniels bad. He recognized it. He saw it. He wanted him bad. Can we give this guy a quarterback he can work with and develop like he did with Josh Allen? Can we please? Otherwise, why hire him? There's my Giant rant. I can't take it anymore with Daniel Jones. I just can't.
But does Dable survive a 2-win season?
Yeah, I think he does. I do. Especially if they all are aware of the plan. If they pull Daniel Jones because it's like, hey, we can't have this happen, and they make John Mara understand it, and that's what leads to the 2 wins, I think so. If they try and win and reinforce things and, you know, I don't know, do something stupid and trade for somebody or something and say, hey, wins are paramount, and the owner comes down and says, I don't give a damn, win football games, I'm not letting you bench Daniel Jones, then, yeah, maybe a 2-win season could get him fired, but I don't think. If they all know the plan, which it should be, I think he'd probably still... He already got that vote of confidence. Dan in Massachusetts. What's up, Dan?
All right, Mac the Knife. Here we go.
Here we go.
All right, everyone's been talking about the fifth inning last night. You know, yes. The judges missed, the Volpe error, the gaffe by Colin Rizzo.
Yes.
But I waited all last night and today for the one gaffe that no one mentioned. Okay, we got the eighth inning. New York up 6-5, bases loaded. No one out. Weaver comes in. He gets Lux on a sacrifice fly. Ball game tied. First and third, up comes Ohtani. Guy's been injured. He's been an automatic out. But what happens? The first pitch, yeah. Austin Wells catches interference.
Yeah.
So now what happens? Bases loaded, but now the Yankees aren't facing an injured player.
Right.
They got Mookie Betts.
Yep.
He hits a fly ball, and there it is, 7-6.
Yep.
Yeah, Mac, I'll come. Everybody's forgetting that.
I know. I hear you. I think they were screwed at that point anyway. I got to be totally honest with you. So that's why you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's a killer play. He's got to make sure that he has his glove back. We're seeing it more and more, and not just with the Yankees. I'm not trying to defend the Yankees. You can't have that happen in that moment. You can't. You want to blame Boone on that? Okay. The catcher needs to know he's got to have his glove back. But we are seeing that more throughout baseball than I ever remember. But yes. I think maybe the swings are changing, quite honestly. But anyway,
by the way, it can't happen.
But here's my only point with it. I'll let you finish, I promise. My point is with it, he's going to hit a sack. They're not winning that game. And that's stupid. I shouldn't think like that. And you're right. It's an enormous play. Ohtani's been terrible in this series for the most part. And they have a much better opportunity to strike him out or get him on a pop-up than they do Mookie Betts. It's a devastating play. But I got to be honest with you. The minute they tied the game in the fifth, I knew they were losing. And so everything else kind of falls into this one thing of it was over anyway. But you're not wrong. It's a terrible play. And that's one of the things. The balk when Weaver, who's exhausted, you know, goes to first the third time and gives them second base. Like there was mental mistakes. Without question. I'm not trying to say that the Yankees and Aaron Boone don't have a team that have mental mistakes. But I'm just like, my point is it's the World Series. Like, and everyone says, oh, you know, the Jeter teams didn't do this, the Jeter teams didn't do that. 100% true. Do you really believe that Derek Jeter and that group needed Joe Torre to instill focus? Like, Derek Jeter was born with it, man. If Derek Jeter were on this team being coached by Aaron Boone, do we think Jeter would be a lackadaisical player? Like, no. No, he wouldn't. Like, it's on the players to be focused in the World Series. I don't think nipping anything in the butt, I don't think they didn't have enough conversations about where to have the catcher's glove, and that's the reason why it popped its ugly head in that moment. Like, I don't, but I understand if people do. I don't know. Go ahead.
And before the series, if you remember, you know, we talked, and I said I was both a Yankee and a Dodger fan.
Yeah.
And then we right. talked about, clutch hitters, and you came up with Kiki, which is a good one. And I told you the best clutch player all season long for the Dodgers was Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
I watch all the games. You know?
No, listen, he's a great player, but you're right. Considering how he went into the World Series struggling and hobbled against the Mets.
Yep.
He just completely became that couple days off completely changed him, and he just
he had like 4 days off.
He and then after, wore out and I the also, Yankees.
If you remember, you were after Moose's show. I talked to you Sunday afternoon, and I said I fully expect Flaherty to get beat the next game, and he should have lost. And the other thing I said was about Walker Buehler. I told you that he's been improving game after game. And the key thing in his next outing is he needs command because he doesn't throw 98 anymore.
Yeah.
And I told you if he has command, I look out, he's dangerous. And sure enough,
you were, Walker Buehler pitched great. Listen, the Dodgers are good. The Dodgers are better than the Yankees in many ways and better in the series. But the Yankees had an opportunity. It is not outside the realm of reality. Not many things had to happen for us to be getting ready for a Yankees game 6 up 3-2 right now. Like, not many things had to happen. Like, Gleyber Torres fields a ball at second base, and Aaron Judge catches a pop-up, and we're 3-2. Like, that's how crazy it is. And that's what's frustrating, and I get it. I don't want to dismiss people's concerns about Aaron Boone. I don't. Like, people, this is what happens. Aaron Boone sucks. Aaron Boone's the worst manager in the world. Aaron Boone needs to be fired. They'll never win without Aaron Boone. He's an absolute disaster. He's the worst. And then I'll go, listen, Aaron Boone has a lot of issues. I don't think they run perfectly. But, hey, they got nothing out of left field, nothing out of first base, nothing out of third base, nothing out of catcher. And yet he won 94 games. They win a lot. He's had the best winning percentage of any Yankee. You know, like, I'm just saying, like, yeah, listen, if you need to fire him, there's been enough here, and they haven't won in long enough. I understand. But I don't think he's, like, the worst thing ever. And somehow that becomes, like, shill. I have to think he's the worst manager of all time, or I'm some sort of shill for the New York Yankee organization. Or I have to think that Aaron Judge dropping a pop-up in the outfield is somehow Aaron Boone's fault. Otherwise, I'm some sort of Yankee shill who constantly defends. Like, I constantly defend because the opposite side is constantly the worst ever. They're the worst. I can't stand them. Get their faces off my TV screen. I give them the goal. Ah. Like, there is common ground. There is a middleman. They were just in the World Series. They've done something right. They were one of the final two teams in Major League Baseball. You can't say they don't do anything right. Something went okay to get to that point. No. And if you even suggest that, you sniff at that. You go, well, listen, I mean, is it so bad? Maybe there are things that need to be cleaned up, no doubt. But is it so awful? I mean, they were in the World Series with a 5-0 lead in the fifth inning before the most random, bad, terrible, disgusting thing of all time happened. Like, maybe something's going okay? No! No, they're the worst! You idiot! You fatso! Fire them all! Okay. Fire them all.
Always go to fatso. Is that...
Well, because I get that a lot.
Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, and, well, listen. I'm extremely handsome. I'm doing well in the downstairs department, and
voice of an angel.
I have an incredible singing voice and a talking voice, very pleasant. And I think all around, I'm just a very nice guy. So the only thing, and an incredible mustache. So the only thing to really go after is my weight. To be fair, I leave them no other venue.
So it's a cheap shot, you're saying?
They have no other way to go. They have nothing else to say but my weight, and they do take it. They do take it. I even got like a recent, I was just looking at one before. It was like, I'm surprised you can carry all this water for the New York Yankees considering your weight already. Like, well, it's really strong calf muscles.
Not strong enough to get it down before the knee, though.
No, that I could not do. That I don't know how the hell he made that catch. I don't know how he made that play, should I say. Catch I could make. I could leap, do the Michael Jordan leg spread, and get the ball one-handed. That I could do. Come down and stay in bounds? No, I could not do that. 888.
You look like Taylor Hendricks.
Yeah.
Did you see that injury?
No.
On the Jazz? Look it up during the break. Jazz, Taylor Hendricks injury.
Bad?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Just...
It's awful.
Unathletic leading to an injury.
No. Just watch it.
No, I don't want to look at it then. I'm not one for that. They're like... The different parts go in different directions and stuff?
Yes.
Oh, no, thanks. I can't do it.
But in the most odd way I've ever seen.
I can't look at it. It's not my thing. I remember the Dak Prescott one against the Giants. I was like...
That, when he tried to bang it back in.
That was so bad to watch.
I don't know what that is. I guess it's adrenaline.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Joe Theismann one, that's more of just a break. But when they like... When the foot turns or things go the wrong direction...
Chris Godwin on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. That was just dangling.
Oh my God. And that's a weird one too, because he just hit another leg as he was swinging and it's just
so
weird.
You see that 1,000 times in a football game. Oh, yeah.
Weird. All right, McMonagle here with you. 2 hours down, 3 more to go. Got you all the way to 5 o'clock. Continue to take your phone calls. We'll get into a Juan Soto conversation everybody's dying to have next. We'll still talk Jets as they have a miraculous win, come from behind win, second half, where they actually look like a football team and Aaron Rodgers actually looked kind of like Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams touchdowns and the greatest catch of the season and a burgeoning, finally, relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson that we've been waiting all year for. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, taking your phone calls till 5 a.m. We'll be right back.